They pulled the cart from the brush with which they'd covered it, and he raised it up and piled the blankets in and the coats, and they pushed on out to the road and stood looking, where the last of that ragged horde seemed to hang like an afterimage in the disturbed air. In the afternoon it started to snow again. They stood watching the pale gray flakes sift down out of the sullen murk. They trudged on, a frail slush forming over the dark surface of the road. The boy kept falling behind, and he stopped and waited for him. "Stay with me," he said.
"You walk too fast."
"I'll go slower." They went on. "You're not talking again."
"I'm talking."
"You want to stop?"
"I always want to stop."
"We have to be more careful. I have to be more careful."
"I know."
"We'll stop. Okay?"
"Okay."
"We just have to find a place."
"Okay."
The falling snow curtained them about. There was no way to see anything at either side of the road. He was coughing again, and the boy was shivering. The two of them, side by side, under the sheet of plastic, pushing the grocery cart through the snow. Finally, he stopped. The boy was shaking uncontrollably.
"We have to stop," he said.
"It's really cold."
"I know."
"Where are we?"
"Where are we?"
"Yes."
"I don't know."
"If we're going to die, would you tell me?"
"I don't know. We're not going to die." They left the cart overturned in a field of sedge, and he took the coats and the blankets wrapped in the plastic tarp, and they set out.
"Hold on to my coat," he said. "Don't let go."
They crossed through the sedge to a fence and climbed through, holding down the wire for each other with their hands. The wire was cold, and it creaked in the staples. It was darkening fast. They went on. What they came to was a cedar wood, the trees dead and black, but still full enough to hold the snow. Beneath each one, a precious circle of dark earth and cedar duff. They settled under a tree and piled the blankets and coats on the ground, and he wrapped the boy in one of the blankets and set to raking up the dead needles in a pile. He kicked a cleared space in the snow where the fire wouldn't set the tree alight, and he carried more wood from the other trees, breaking off the limbs and shaking away the snow. When he struck the lighter to the rich tinder, the fire crackled instantly, and he knew that it wouldn't last long. He looked at the boy.
"I've got to go for more wood," he said. "I'll be in the neighborhood, okay?"
"Where's the neighborhood?"
"It just means I won't be far."
"Okay."
The snow by now was half a foot on the ground. He floundered out through the trees, pulling up the fallen branches where they stuck out of the snow, and by the time he had an armload and made his way back to the fire, it had burned down to a nest of quaking embers. He threw the branches on the fire and set out again, hard to stay ahead. The woods were getting dark, and the firelight didn't reach far. If he hurried, he only grew faint. When he looked behind him, the boy was trudging through snow halfway to his knees, pulling up limbs and piling them in his arms.